last week, we began to teach on this subject, we have been adopted. We have been adopted. About 5 weeks ago now, I spoke to you on the 8 things that instantly happened the moment that we come to Christ, the moment that we are saved. And number 5 on that list was, we become a child of God. And how we become a child of God is that we are adopted into His family. And so that's what we're talking about. And last Sunday, I gave you about half of what I want to bring to you. And so we're going to pick up today, right where we left off last week. If you weren't here and you say, oh no, I didn't get the first part, I'm going to take a moment and just kind of review the 3 primary principles that we laid out for you last week. And then we're going to go on from there and kind of build on that foundation. So you'll be able to catch up. You'll be fine. Last week, we put our 2 different texts on the screen for you in the New King James and in the New International Version. This week, I'm going to put them up there in the English Standard Version. And instead of reading the whole context like we did last week, I'm just going to focus in on the key verses. So the first one that we looked at last week was Galatians 4, and we zeroed right in on verse number 4 and 5. And I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't you just look right up the screen with me, and why don't we all just declare the Word of God together? Now, I remember when I grew up in church, oftentimes our pastor would tell us, open up your Bible and we're going to read a portion of Scripture together. And that was okay because everybody had the same Bible. We all had the old King James Version and it worked. But if I told you to open up your Bible and we're going to read from here to there, well, first of all, Bruce has probably got his amplified Bible, so he's going to finish about 2 minutes after the rest of us because it adds all of the meaning to words and so forth. But you know, that's going to be just kind of a mishmash of King James and NIV and the Living Bible and all of this kind of stuff. It'd just be sound. But if we all read it right off the screen here, we'll all be together. Let's just declare the Word of God. This is good truth right here. Everybody? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's what we're talking about, that we have been adopted. Then we also read last week from Romans 8. 15 through 16. And you did such a good job. Let's do it again. Let's all read together, okay? For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if you're glad you're God's child, say a great big amen.
Amen.
Let's pray and ask God to bless His word, shall we? Father, thank you now for this opportunity that we have to open up your word, the bread of life. And you're going to feed us from your word today. And I pray, God, that you would help us to have a greater appreciation and understanding of what it means to be a child of God, adopted into your family. I ask you, God, for your anointing that I might clearly speak your word. Help me to only say those things that are accurate and true, and give us all, myself included, ears to hear what your Holy Spirit would be saying. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you can see on the screen in front of you, we are all part of God's family. We came into God's family when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And we read this verse last week from Galatians 3:26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So let me now briefly, in the next 2 or 3 minutes, remind you of the things that we talked about last week. We started to give you 7 truths about adoption. And here was number one. Adoption means we were not an accident. We talked about how that a man or a woman, husband and wife, might have a child that catches them by surprise. Talked about my wife's younger sister, how she was born like 9 years after her and her brother. And Carrie was kind of a little surprise to her mom and dad. Well, that happens. That happens. Remember, we talked about that there's never any accident with God, though. God knew Carrie was going to be born, and he had a place for her and a design for her life and a purpose that she's living out now. She is a school teacher in Eastern Oregon. But no husband and wife ever adopts a child by accident. Adoption is a process. It's not something that sneaks up on you. You make a choice. And that is true with respect to our relationship with God. On the front of your bulletin, it kind of had a little bit of a summary of a verse in Ephesians 1. The bulletin cover says, in love, God chose to adopt us through Jesus Christ. Well, let me show you the exact verse that that is from. Let's look at it right in the scripture. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, for he chose us in him. Can you get a hold of that? He chose us. I don't know if I would have chosen me. No amens now, Jim. Easy. Because I don't know if I would have chosen you either, Jim. You know that. Hey, look, when we look at ourselves, we say, why would God choose me? Don't know, but he did. And aren't you grateful that he did? Amen. All right, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted, there's that word again, as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Do you know that God takes pleasure in you being his child? He has fun with you being his child. You are his child by his will. He wanted you. So the first thing that adoption means is we're not an accident. God wanted us. He chose us. It was God who was drawing us by his Holy Spirit to his Son because he wanted us. And the Bible said we could not have come. John 6:44, you see it on the screen, unless the Father was drawing us. So we're not an accident. Number two, the second thing we talked about last week is that God knew what he was getting. God knew what he was getting when he got you and me. He knew all about us. He knew our good points. He knew our weak points. He knew my wife's long, long list of good points and her little short list of bad points. And he knew my long, long list of bad points and my little short list of good points. My wife will affirm that with you. And he wanted me anyway. And the great thing is that God knew everything about us before he adopted us, and he will never change his mind. We talked about the little Russian boy last Sunday who, after the lady in Tennessee had adopted him and she had him for several months, she sent him back to Russia. I don't want this guy anymore. And we talked about the fact that every one of us, we've probably given God an opportunity or two to change his mind. But he will not change his mind with us. In fact, Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Hallelujah. God knew what he was getting. It's not anything that has surfaced in your life or mine that God didn't know about. And the last thing we talked about last Sunday, adoption speaks of a new relationship. And obviously, it's the father-child relationship, but we talked about another dimension of that new relationship, and that was the slave to sin, the servant to the law, trying to please God by keeping the law, by our own efforts, by our own works. He said, no longer are you a servant. You have been set free at the cross. You are now my son. Galatians 4:7, you can see it on the screen. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Okay, so that brings you up to date on what we covered last Sunday. Let's move on to the next of these seven truths about adoption. Here's number four. Adoption speaks of rights. Rights. An adopted child has the same rights as a biological child. I have never heard of a family who loads up the car, ready to head out for vacation. And the father says, oh, John and Martha, you are going with us on this vacation because you are our biological child. But Paul, you were adopted. And so you will not be going on this vacation. We're taking the dog, but not you, Paul. No, it doesn't work that way. If you're a child and you've been adopted into a family, you have the same rights as the other children in the family. I did hear of a situation not too long ago, it was in the news, of a family that was abusive. And their biological children were allowed to sit at the table with the whole family, but their adopted child had to go sit by himself in another room, alone, for his meal. Tragic. Aren't you glad that God doesn't deal with things that way? Can you say amen? As children of God, we have rights. Now, that leads us to say, what rights are we talking about? And by the way, let me remind you of this scripture we talked about last week from John 1, verse number 12. It's on the screen. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave what? The right to become children of God. So, what kind of rights are we talking about? I want to mention to you four. There are more than four, but we don't want to stay all day. So let me just mention to you four that are really important. We've got to think now, we've got to have our mind in the context of when the scripture was written. And one of the great rights that would be gained by a son who would be adopted into a Roman family is that he would gain the right of citizenship. That's really important. Because if you were not a Roman citizen, but you became a Roman citizen, there were certain privileges and benefits that were yours. Even you might remember when Paul was arrested one time, they were going to beat him before putting him on trial. And he said, wait, 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 I'm a Roman citizen. And they quickly had to put the brakes on because it would have been illegal for them to beat him without having a trial as a Roman citizen. When you and I were adopted into God's family, the Bible tells us our citizenship changed. We were no longer citizens of this world. In fact, Peter says, and Hebrews also verifies, that we are merely passing through. We are pilgrims. The King James uses the word, we are sojourners. But here is what Paul said in Philippians 3:20. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we came to the Lord, our citizenship was changed. And we wait to go home. To go home. A second right that we're talking about that became ours when we received Christ as our Savior is the right of access. Access to the Father. You met a couple weeks ago my best friend, John. He was here and he spoke to us. John and I were in the church where we both attended one afternoon, and we were walking towards the pastor's office. John took hold of the doorknob of the pastor's office, opened the door, and just walked in. I would not have thought of doing that for anything. I would have knocked on the door, but John opened the door and walked in, and you know why he did that. Because the pastor was his father. So the pastor said, "What is it, son?" John had access to the pastor that I did not have, because the pastor was not my father, but he was John's father. Listen to me here, friends. We have access to the Father that other people who have not received Christ as their Savior do not have. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you don't get excited about that, I'll get excited all by myself. I don't mind that I can come to God anytime, night or day, because he's my father. I don't have to get somebody who's more qualified than me, is more holy than me. I don't have to have somebody to talk to God on my behalf. God says, come, come. Look exactly, you know the passage of scripture, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Can I just take a time out from the text and say, my friend John opened the door to his father's office with confidence because it was his dad on the other side. And God says we can come to him with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you've ever been tempted to pray and say, "Oh God, I'm sorry to bother you. I know I've come to you so many times with different things, and here I am again, and please pardon my interruption." And no. Your father says, "Come, crawl up on my lap. Tell me what's going on. You're my child, and I always have time for you." Is there one person that would say amen?
Amen.
Thank you. You can actually do that on your own without me asking. It's all right. It's all right. I've been preaching for 43 years, and there's very little that kind of upsets me. It's okay. You're not going to catch me off guard. Here is another right. We have the right of authority. The right of authority. You see, Jesus said that all authority had been given to him by the Father. And then he said, "But I'm giving the authority of the Father on to you." In fact, the authority that we gain when we are adopted into the family of God is directly linked with the name of our older brother. And so we read, Jesus was saying, John 16, 23 and 24, "In that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. And I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete." That is the authority that's been given to us as adopted sons and daughters of God. A couple verses later, Jesus went on to say this, "In that day you will ask in my name." I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Take a time out. He's saying, you're now family. You're now family. You can come to the Father. You can come to the Father with your needs, with your requests. You can come to the Father. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. When you loved me, Jesus said, and you receive me as your personal Savior, you are born into God's family, you are adopted, and God recognizes that. You're now his child, and you have the authority that God grants to you. One more here. We have the right of inheritance. We won't spend a long time here, but the Bible says in Romans 8, 16 and 17, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Amen. We are heirs. And someday, we're going to receive that inheritance. We are laying up treasure right now in that inheritance. And someday, everybody who thinks in this world that they're winners because they're storing up the most stuff, and we're losers because we aren't storing up the most stuff, all of a sudden there's going to be a little surprise. I'm not living for this world and what kind of possessions I can acquire or accounts that I can build up. I'm living for the inheritance that I will receive someday from God my Father. If you believe that, say amen. We better move along. Are you all doing okay? Let me just say, it may take a turn right now. We're all real good with this rights stuff. I got this right, I got that right. Let me emphasize this. With rights comes certain responsibilities. We all want the good news. Yeah, tell us about the rights. Don't talk to us about the responsibilities. Now they come hand in hand. The most vivid responsibility that we have is God says, if you're my child, and I'm giving you to these rights, then you also have responsibility. You remember the family I talked to you about last Sunday, the Greers, and this picture was right out of the church directory when they were adopting. At that point, they were at 6, and they went on up to 12 boys that they adopted. When those boys came out of homes that were dysfunctional, drug houses where they had been abused and molested, and they came into the Greer home, Bill, right there, he was insistent that they would now live by the rules of their house. If you're going to be a part of this family, you will have to live by my rules. And that's what allowed their family to function well, because they knew the rules and chose to live by them. But they all recognized that living by Bill's rules was a whole lot better than the hell that they had been living in. Well, guess what, friends? God says, if you're going to be my children and you're going to be part of my family, you need to live by the family rules. Not despising it. Oh man, now I've got to do this and I can't do that. No. But in recognition that being a part of God's family is a whole lot better than what some of us were part of, or what we would probably be part of if we weren't part of God's family. How many understand what I'm saying? Can I see your hand if you understand? You understand what I'm talking about? Some of you have been in that other side of the equation, and you are so appreciative of being brought into the family that you would say, yes, I want to live by the family rules. Now, somebody is probably going to say, well, where does it actually say this in Scripture? I'm glad you ask, because I want to give you an answer. Let's look right here at this verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from them and be separate. Come out from the old way of life, the old family that you were involved in, the family of sin, the family of death, the family of destruction. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now listen to this. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Is it clear? God says, I want you to be my sons and my daughters, but if you're going to do that, then you need to come out of the old way of living and live by the rules. Not as a hardship, but as a blessing. And by the way, God has responsibilities in this whole thing too. God's responsibilities are to help us live by the rules. The Scripture calls it the discipline of God. You see, we read, and this is kind of a lengthy passage, but I'm going to put up about 7 or 8 verses right here for you. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. My son, you see how he addresses us? We're adopted into his family. This isn't God talking to people who have not made that decision to come into his family. This is God talking to us, his sons, his daughters. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. Oh, I see some of you can relate with that quite well. how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. And let's emphasize that. You know, I'm going to tell you, my dad is my hero, but he made some mistakes in disciplining me. And you know what? I made some mistakes in disciplining our son, Caleb. We were just doing what we thought was best. But God always acts based on what he knows is best. Knows is best. And God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Wow. We better move on. Adoption also speaks of a legal process. So if you're taking notes, this is number 5, okay? So we're 5, you know we've got number 6 and number 7 to go, and then we eat, okay? Not here, but you say, did I miss another potluck? No. Adoption speaks of a legal process. That family that you've seen now picture of the last couple Sundays, the Greer family, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to court with that family. And we went into a courtroom that looked just like this, state of California. And we went for the finalizing of adoption. And we were actually there as witnesses. We had to sign papers as witnesses. One of those young boys that you've seen in the picture is a Facebook friend of mine still to this day. He reached out and reconnected with us a few years ago. But there was a legal process, and that process culminated when the judge put his gavel down and said, "Record his name. He is now Frank Greer." Let me say, there's a legal process that culminates, and we talked about this a few Sundays ago, that our name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now we are a child of God. And each time that Susan and I were there in that courtroom, as the Greers were adopting another boy, we would go from that courtroom down the street to Rosemary's old-fashioned ice creamery, and there would be a celebration because Bill would buy everybody hot fudge sundaes because we've adopted another boy into our family. Well, let me tell you, friends, there's a big celebration coming someday. There was already a celebration in heaven when you received Christ. The angels broke forth into rejoicing, the scripture says. But there's a celebration coming someday when we are going to be gathered together with our family and all of his adoptees. And I can't tell you if there's going to be ice cream there or not. But I do know that Jim wants it to be chocolate ice cream, if there is, because he and I, we both love chocolate. I found that out yesterday. We're going to be around the table. We're going to be around the table with every man and woman from every period of time, from every continent, every country, every tribe, every nation. The Bible tells us in Revelation, and we will be there before the throne of God. Family. Family. So adoption speaks of a legal process. Let's go to the next one. Adoption speaks of a price to be paid. A price to be paid. I don't know if there's anyone here that has adopted a child before. I don't know that. It's okay. But I do know that families today are willing to pay huge amounts of money to adopt a child. We have friends who adopted an Asian child, and there was a cost involved. I'm going to tell you this next little fact and might make some of you mad. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I don't like to make people mad, but I'm going to tell you that under Roman law, when Paul was writing these things, the Roman government set the price for adoption. And it was this much for adopting a son, and this much for adopting a daughter. Sorry. The reason for that is the Roman government viewed adding a son to a home as increasing the value of that household. When God deals with us, we are all the same. He is not a respecter of persons. The Bible says God shows no favoritism. The cost was exactly the same for Charlie as it was for Cindy. The cost was exactly the same for Christy as it was for Matt. The cost was his son. That was the price that God the Father paid so that we could be adopted into his family. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the cost that God the Father was willing to pay so that we could become his children. And that's why we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, as you see on the screen in front of you, you were bought at a price. One more and we'll be through. Adoption speaks of permanence. Now let me tell you a sad aspect of the Greers and their boys. Some of the boys that they took into their home were not eligible to be adopted. Some of them were foster kids. Some of them were temporarily assigned. And there were some occasions when Beulah would call me at my office and she would say, "Pastor, can you come over? Bill's not here this morning and I need somebody." And I would go, and Child Protective Services were there to retrieve one of the boys that had been living in the Greer household. And there were tears. I was there when, on occasions where boys did not want to go. I was there on one occasion where one little boy didn't live according to Bill's rules, and he kicked the Child Protective Service lady's shin. "I don't want to go." Because you see, temporary custody can be withdrawn. Guardianship, that's the word I want. Guardianship can come to an end. A foster child can be sent back. And I was there when some foster boys were taken to go back into homes where they had been abused, when there was drugs, and they knew exactly what they were going back to. But once they adopted a boy, he was there for good. I want you to know, adoption speaks of permanence. None of us are foster kids in God's family. Somebody say amen. None of us can the enemy come and say, I want him back. I want her back. And we have to go. Permanence. And not just permanence in this life only. But we read these words in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. Speaking of a day that is to come, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And now we read, I'll put it right on the screen for you, the rest of those verses there. And so we will be with the Lord forever. The King James Version says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then we're told this, wherefore, encourage each other with these words. And that's what I've been trying to do for the last two Sundays, to encourage you with these words. We are part of God's family. Our Father has adopted us into his home. And he is preparing for us a forever home. A forever home where we will be with him.